Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hope. It seems to be in short supply these days. I hope that my Bible will stay open and it keeps trying to shut. We hope for a lot of things. We use that word a lot of times in, I think, almost a trivial way. Kids might use it. I hope we're going to get ice cream after dinner. I hope that I can get through all the traffic lights before without any of them turning red. But what does hope really, really mean when you get down to it? What is the importance of hope? What are we saying when we ask or for hope and think about hope? I think it's much grander than, and don't get me wrong, ice cream is pretty good, but it's much grander than ice cream and traffic lights and even bigger things of this life. As I mentioned to start, it seems like hope is in short supply these days in our nation with all of the events that are going on around the world and even at home. And over the last few years, especially as our decade started with a pandemic, I think we've lost hope. And as historians look back on this decade, I think it's going to be looked at as a decade of people searching for hope and not finding it. If you look through the news and through articles, there's much to say about this. In the University of Maryland's publication that they put out in September 2023, there was an article that was written, "Is Hopelessness a Public Health Crisis?" And in an interview with Carol Graham, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute, who is an authority on well-being economics, she lamented how many people are lacking hope in these days and what it does not only to their lives and their livelihoods, but also to the greater economic picture. Forbes magazine in 2024, "America's hopelessness crisis may have less to do with the economy and more to do with Gen Z's mental health," new survey shows. Pew Research did some work in December 2023, and 90% of Americans believe we are in the middle of a mental health crisis. Suicide is the leading cause of death, for those aged 10 to 24. Think about that. Suicide at age 10 is the second leading cause of death. In 2022, there were 105,000 deaths from drug overdoses in our nation. What the government is now terming deaths of despair. To put that into perspective, automobile accidents killed only 43,000 people. So you were over twice as likely in 2022 to die from a drug overdose than you were a car accident. And the thing that most struck me was an article in Psychology Today from September 2022. Charles Johnston, a psychologist, psychiatrist, writes this, "I find the degree of cynicism that permeates our world today striking and troubling. As a psychiatrist who often works with young people, I find it particularly concerning. It is rare that a young person I work with expresses real hope about what lies ahead. I view making sense of what we see and responding effectively to be one of the most important mental health challenges of our time. And then the most striking sentence, I think, in the entire article is his very next one. I'm not, in fact, sure whether hope is warranted. He says that this is the most important thing that we could do. And then the very next sentence, I had to stop and read it again to make sure I read it correctly. I'm not, in fact, sure whether hope is warranted. And then he goes into a litany of all of the things that you all know that are going on that can seem to sap our joy and our hope. I don't need to belabor the point because we know it and we feel it. But into this world that we find ourselves in, God's word speaks. And so we read God's word from 1 Peter. Our text today tells us in this wonderful doxology that Peter breaks into after his introduction of where he lists all of the people that this letter is written to, which is all of the Christians that are dispersed throughout all of the known world, basically, at that time in Asia Minor. He writes to them, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you." And then, as he reflects on this, he cannot help but be overjoyed and express in this doxology, the opening words of our text, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, which may be multiplied among the saints. He has caused us to be born again into a living hope." A living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. You see, if you need hope, if you're searching for something to believe in, well, right off the bat, here it is. Not just the wondering if, but the certain knowledge that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Alleluia! He is risen indeed. That would be enough. But because Christ is risen from the dead, because this is verifiable fact, that he was dead and the tomb is empty, and that he appeared to many and showed himself alive. He did so many things, as John would later go on to finish his gospel account, that if they were all written, no books could contain them all. Jesus did many, many other things in the presence of the disciples, and these are written that you may believe that he is alive, that he is the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, this living hope which we have is to an inheritance that is imperishable. It is undefiled, and it is unfading, and it is kept in heaven for you. You see, so many things in this world, all of the little joys that we have from day to day, they're always tainted maybe with a little bit of the things of this world, or maybe they're nice, but they're not quite good enough. They're just a little taste of joy that then fades. But our hope, our inheritance, Peter tells us, is kept free from the stain of sin. It is kept free from fading. It lasts. and it is kept in heaven for you. You who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. You see, the good thing about our hope, the good thing about our joy, is that it's not up to us to keep it the way that it is. It's being kept by God's power. And did you notice there too where he says we are being guarded through faith? We often think about faith as the substance of what we believe, as all good theologians who use Latin, the fetus quae creditur, the faith, the substance of our faith that we believe that Jesus is alive and that by believing we have life because he is risen from the dead, we have forgiveness of sins. But what Peter is speaking here is the other Latin term that theologians use, fetus qua creditur, the faith by which you believe. And we talk about this oftentimes being a gift from God. And it is a gift from God, and that is important because if it comes from God, well, that means that it is perfect. That means that it is unstained by sin. That means that it is capable of doing the thing for which it is sent, namely to guard us in that faith that we believe, the content of our faith. And so Peter here reminds us that it is not up to us to churn up in ourselves enough faith to believe that these things are true, but to trust that God has come down. The same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead comes down to us in his Holy Spirit and causes us to have this hope, causes us to be safe for eternity. And all we have to do is trust that God is on his throne, doing his work, and that he is faithful. And this will be revealed in the last time. And in this, you rejoice. Much like the disciples did when they saw the Lord. To borrow from next week's gospel reading from Luke on the walk to Emmaus, the two disciples were so downtrodden and lacked hope when Jesus, unbeknownst to them, comes alongside of them and he looks at them and asks them, "Hey, why so glum? Well, we had hoped that Jesus would do these things, and he didn't do the things that we thought that he would, at least in the way that we thought that he would." And then once they recognized who Jesus was, they ran back all the way to the other disciples and told them, "We've seen the Lord. He is alive, and he has appeared to Peter." And that's where our text really picks up in the gospel account from John today, where Jesus shows up to then the apostles who were gathered together in that room. And then Thomas is missing. And when Thomas shows up, with joy, the other disciples relate this news. "We've seen the Lord." I can't think of that going any differently. I mean, can you imagine Thomas showing up and the disciples going, "Hey, Thomas, guess what? We saw the Lord. Yeah, he was here. You missed it." No, it had to be with emotion, with joy, with rejoicing. "We have seen the Lord. He's not dead. He's alive. Thanks be to God." So they have seen him, and all they can do is rejoice. And that, church, is what we get the opportunity to do in this Easter season, is to rejoice that Jesus is in fact alive. He is risen from the dead. Now that doesn't mean that everything that we plan and everything that we think is going to happen is going to go just the way that we want it to. And Peter lets us in on this, helps us to understand it. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. And we know that this is true. We can read it in the headlines. We can feel it in ourselves. We can see it in the faces of the people that we meet. When we remember the sins that we have committed, when we remember the things that didn't go the way we wanted them to, we are grieved by various trials. But take heart, church. Those trials do not have the last word. The power of God has the last word, which is keeping you safe for salvation, for the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that on that last day, your faith, which again, remember, is God's work to give you and to sustain you in, that will result in praise and glory and honor for God at the revelation of Jesus Christ. No matter what trial you're going through right now, no matter what circumstances you find yourselves in, know that there is hope. Know that there is joy on the other side of it. And know that it results in praise and glory for our God. And we will obtain the outcome of that faith, the salvation of our souls. Now notice too, our faith is a living faith. Our faith is not dead, it's alive. But you can also think of this faith, this word living, in the sense that it is an active faith. Faith doesn't just receive the gifts of God and then sit in a pew and go, this is nice. I know that I'm saved. This is great. And sit for an hour, or depending on how long I preach, more than an hour. And then walk out the door and go home and sit and go, this is nice. I'm saved. No, faith is living and active. Faith is the work of the Holy Spirit working inside of you to be one of those people who might have been shut up in a room for fear of the Jews or shut up in a room for fear of what's going to happen. But then when it encounters the risen Lord, it goes out and it does things. It tells people, we have seen the Lord. It goes out and tells people on the road. It goes out and preaches in the synagogues. It goes out and gets beaten and says, thank you, God, for that beating, because now I have been found worthy to suffer disgrace for the sake of the name, and I cannot stop. Because I know the Lord Christ is risen, and I must obey man, or must obey God rather than man. And I must teach in this name, because there is no other name in heaven or on earth in which men must be saved. And there are a lot of people that need to be saved. And God wants all of them. And he has chosen the church as his instrument to do that work of preaching and teaching and guiding a broken, sinful, fallen world that is in desperate need of hope. He's chosen you to go out and give it because you have it. You know it. You believe it. Even though you have not seen Jesus physically, none of us in this room can say that we have. I don't know, maybe if you have, you want to tell a story to me later, that'd be great. But you all believe. Every single one of you, I hope, believes in Jesus. And you have the greatest story that has ever been told. You have the opportunity to share that hope with someone else. So brothers and sisters in Christ, trust that God is the one that is working faith in you. Trust that God is the one who is guarding you for eternity. And then go out and share this living hope that you have with those that don't have it. Not because we got to fill some empty seats in here, but because we got to fill some empty seats in heaven. Because there are people that you want to spend eternity with. I know there are. And God wants that too. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in this endeavor, and surely bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.